This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our second reading is from Matthew, the 13th chapter, 31 through 33, then 44 through 52. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He then told another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading from his Holy Scripture. I left home and I made 3 left turns and returned home. And I found 2 masked men there. Who were they? Well, the catcher and the umpire, of course. Left home, 3 left turns, catcher and the umpire. Long as you're with me. We're going to pretend that I know the first thing about baseball so that I can pursue a thought I had this week. My impression is that many people think of God as a sort of divine umpire, one who is not involved in the play, but stands in judgment of it, standing behind home and handing out rulings, an uninvolved God, you could say, the punisher of evildoers, the welcoming presence to heaven for the righteous. Well, you can certainly find passages in the Bible that support such a view, and I won't be critical of it. I would point out, though, that this is a crippled view of God, a one-dimensional representation of the much bigger reality that is God. One of our most frequently encountered mistakes is to imagine that the God we think we understand is the same as the God who is. C.S. Lewis said, always speaks well, the most dangerous thing you can do is to take any one impulse of your own nature and set it up as the thing you ought to follow at all costs. There is not one of them which will not make us into devils if we set it up as an absolute guide. Those that are biblical literalists find that an uncomfortable thought, but this is C.S. Lewis speaking, not just some guy off the street. That quote is a riveting thought to me, a real showstopper. Pick something you feel you must follow at all costs, that thing to which you feel all righteous persons should adhere. Then remind yourself of Mr. Lewis's observation. That precious position you would defend with your life will turn you into a devil if you set it up as an absolute guide. Only God can handle that kind of responsibility. If that doesn't humble you, If that doesn't teach you the wisdom that Micah passed on to us, that we are to walk humbly with your God, I don't know what will. Politically, our nation is sharply divided, with each wing of our politics worshiping those sacrosanct positions which define their very existence. What we have are two groups of blind devils competing for their own self-defined righteousness. An uninvolved divine umpire in a distant heaven is putting demerits in the divine permanent record of each group, so that he can then punish them for all time when there's nothing they can do about it. An involved God would intervene now, sharing our distress. The Spirit, Paul writes, helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. When my mother had had it enough with my brother and I, the word she used was exasperated. I'm exasperated, usually accompanied with sighs. I'm just exasperated. When I read of the very Spirit sighing with sighs too deep for words, I think of my mother and her exasperating brood. Our God, the Creator of all, must be similarly exasperated by being constantly forced by the pride with which we humans are cursed into the role of uninvolved umpire, when all of Scripture cries out that God is present and active, a player in all we do. The opening prayer today addressed God as the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, and prayed that God would increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Does that sound to you like an uninvolved, inactive umpire? However much the understanding of the world might be pleased to move God from the surface of his creation to some safe distance in a heaven unconnected with us poor creatures, save to hand out rewards and punishments, God insists on being an active participant in the here and now, even though his powerful influence is sometimes so subtle that we miss it. Whether or not we are awake enough to perceive it, it is still there, still effective, and still active. The first two of Jesus' parables from Matthew speak of the great influence over the world today by an active God we mostly fail to notice. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The tiny seed carried within it a great tree. A bit of yeast transforms matzah into a soft loaf. God's present, active presence is easy for us poor blind humans to overlook, but its effect on the world is immeasurable. The next two parables speak of humanity's response to God's presence in the world. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Once recognized, the value of God's presence is unmistakable. One who perceives it values it above anything else, sacrificing all that he has to obtain God's guidance and approval. The final parable speaks of what comes next. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we have the kingdom of heaven in five succinct parables. God doesn't fly about his creation with a big G on his undershirt, doing miracles for the entertainment of the masses. Rather, the kingdom of heaven is a tiny seed sown by an involved God who tends it in anticipation of the inevitable harvest, when his presence will be available to all. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed into the world we live in by a skilled baker who knows that even a small amount of yeast will transform the loaf. The world and we who live within it is not a fixed existence judged by an uninvolved umpire in a distant heaven. We are constantly being transformed by an active, present God. I want to share a story of how the yeast of God transforms the world. You remember Cody Gallahue and the Rack Movement. Here's what happened this week, and it just tickles me more than I can tell you. I was at Starbucks Tuesday, and two soldiers came in. I wanted to do a random act of Cody kindness, and I signaled to the manager that their breakfast was on me. He replied, "I've already got it." Swing and a miss, strike one. I called for a taxi to get me to church. As we rounded the curb behind the mall, I saw a man with a leg brace down on the sidewalk. I told the driver to turn around and go check on him. She did. We pulled up. I rolled down the window and said, "You okay, partner?" "Yeah," he said. "I'm just waiting on a bus that I don't think's ever going to come." "Where are you going?" the driver interrupted. "Food stamp office," he said. Driver said, "Get in. I'll take you." I added, "I'll pay for it." But the driver responded, "No need. I won't charge him." Swing and a miss, strike two. I got one more at bat, and you better believe I'm looking for it. You try to do a random act of kindness just to find that that love from God has already spread wider than your reach. It's wonderful. Talk is cheap. The leavening of God is seen in the actions of those who have been touched by it. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Could add nothing to that. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I was on an elevator at UK Med many, many years ago when a young mother and her child entered. The mother pointed at me. I was a policeman at the time. The mother pointed at me and said, "If you're not good, that policeman will come and take you away." That's the wrong message to give a kid about a policeman, and I told her so. It's also the wrong message about God's relationship to his children. Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God's church replied,
Amen.